Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. You see, the Pharisees were listening to Jesus and watching Jesus work, and he'd just been casting out demons and dealing with things that were in, you know, that were subject to him, or as according to the word. They brought this demon possessed man to him, and it says, and Jesus healed him, and the multitude were amazed by it. And the Pharisees, well, verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, let me tell you this. God knows your thoughts.
Yeah.
God knows your plans.
Yeah.
God knows what you intend to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's already there.
Yeah.
And you know, don't think that if you don't say it, nobody will know about it. Because I'll guarantee one thing. God knows.
Yeah.
Right? You are never on your own. Remember that.
Yeah.
You know, historically some of you felt, I'm totally alone. You're not. But what we forgot to do is look to God, who was always there for us, and turn to him in our times of need, in the times of crisis, in times of difficulties, and in times of challenges. We need to turn to God. Hallelujah. And as we turn to him with our thoughts and our challenges and our difficulties that we face, he comes in and begins to minister to us, begins to reach into our lives, begins to turn things around for us. Hallelujah. So remember, you're never alone. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then shall his kingdom stand? And if I be by Beelzebub casting out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But he says, finally, to verse 28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God,
amen,
then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know, this is where we're at, the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 29, or how shall any one enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house.
Yeah.
The devil thinks the earth belongs to him. That's what he thinks. You know, when he brought Adam and Eve to the place of rebellion and sin,
yeah,
he then thought, it's mine. The keys that Adam had, he gave over to the devil. And the devil said, I've got the keys of the earth. I've got the keys of humanity. They are mine. Mine to control. Mine to destroy. Mine to do what I want with. Well, Jesus came. When he died upon that cross, he took the keys back. And he gave the keys of the kingdom back to his disciples.
Amen.
Who's a disciple? Hallelujah. I'm glad to see with a few disciples in the house.
Yeah.
We're still praying for David. He's not there yet. Glory to God. But hallelujah. But we're still praying for him. Praise his name. And so we're disciples of the Lord Jesus. And so we are there to be deal with the strong man. It's your responsibility. It's your challenge to begin to deal with that strong man that tries to control you, that tries to hold you down, that tries to stop you.
Yeah.
He says, Verse 29, I'll repeat it again. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?
Yeah.
And we need, as the people of God, to take upon us our authority. That the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. He gave us the authority. And in giving us that authority, then we begin to bind the strong man. We've done it historically. We still have to keep on doing it. Binding that strong man, causing him to bow the knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, and to the blood of the Lord Jesus. We need to bind that strong man. We need to take our authority that we has been invested in us through Christ Jesus. You see, there is an invested authority right now in you. As you follow the Lord Jesus, there is an invested authority in you.
Amen.
To bind principalities and powers, to take on the devil's kingdom and destroy it. Because that's what we're here for. It's already been destroyed. It's already in retreat.
It is.
Thank you. Praise God.
Amen.
The keys, the power, the authority was gone. But you say to me, well, why is it at times I feel the devil's troubling me, or we see people where the devil has caused havoc in their lives? That's true, he has. Because their power and authority has been surrendered over. It's time that the church arose from its sleep.
It is. Absolutely.
And began to take its rightful place and its rightful authority and set the captives
Amen.
Free.
Yeah.
You see, that's what it's about. Jesus came to set the captives free.
He did.
And he's setting us free. Giving us more freedom. Because the devil wants to bind you and to control you. He wants to restrict your movements. He wants to restrict your ability to hear God. He wants you to restrict your ability to do the work of God.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. The devil wants to steal from you. He wants to tell you lies. He wants to take from you all the time. God is calling us to stand and to know his presence and power in our lives. So we need to bind the strong man. And as we then begin to bind that strong man, we've done it locally in the area. Just in the last year or so, a particular event. I told you about that the other week. Where someone was causing so much problem in the street, we said, right, take authority over that strong man.
Amen.
Set us free from it. You know, this building, things have gone on before in this building before we ever came here that were ungodly. And we've had to come against principalities and powers, and we've had to cleanse the building. And so that the presence and the power of God, that when people walk in, they begin to feel straight away a presence of the living Jesus. The presence of a holy God. And so we need to take on that authority day by day as the Church of Jesus Christ. And so when we take upon us ourselves the authority that God has given to us, we need to actually be putting on the armour of God.
Amen.
Because the moment that you begin to move forward, the enemy will seek to come against you. Yeah, there's always a kickback.
Yeah.
You will always try and have a push back, because you might think, well, you've just gone over, you've gone a bit too far, you've just gone a little bit, and maybe you've just got a little bit of doubt in you, and he will try and push back.
Mm.
Who do you think you are?
I'm a child of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody's a child of God.
Amen. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, don't mess with God's kids.
No.
You see, you're not seeing yourselves yet fully armed and fully equipped with the things of God, with the Word of God. That's why we started Bible school, because we want you to get hold of what is available to you as individuals.
Amen.
And as a group, an army together, pressing in and destroying the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the great warfare that Paul speaks of. This is the great chapter. You want to put a bookmark in this. Get a Bible highlighter and begin to highlight things in this book of Ephesians. I love Ephesians. It's been one of my favorite books of the Bible. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, he's been teaching them a load of things. He's been teaching them who they are in Christ Jesus. In the first verse he says, to the saints at Ephesus, he's telling them, you are saints. You are ordained people of God. You are children of God. You are the beloved of the Lord. And he's teaching them all these things, and he's teaching the principles, how to operate as a good church, how to operate as a good father, a good mother, a good husband, a good wife, etc. Teaching all then. And then he says, and finally. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Nobody has ever said in the Word of God, well, you're doing it on your own. It says, be strong in the Lord. It doesn't say be strong in yourself. Because let's be honest, when real crises can come along, it can cause that which we feel we're strong to suddenly begin to crumble. Yeah. Can't it?
Yeah.
Ever been broken by a circumstance and situation?
Yeah.
Brought to great tears and great sadness?
Yeah.
Ever been in that situation?
Yeah.
You were crumbling, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You were broken, weren't you? But do you know, because of Jesus, because of the love of God, you were able to take hold of that, and he poured his love into your life, and he poured his strength into your life, and he brought you through. He didn't just get rid of it, he caused you to come through it. And in coming through it, he brought you into a place of strength and conqueror abilities. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 23 said, though I walk through the valley. We go through valley experiences. We go through great depths of challenges. But we're going through. We don't live there. We don't reside there. We're not stopping there. You see, the word is going through it. It's passing through. We read at the end, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, he's gone through it and he's come out the other side saying, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What, for a week? For a month? For a year? How long? Forever!
Amen.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes.
Why? Because you're in an eternal being.
Yes.
Praise his wonderful name. You're not a vapor that's going to disappear in 60, 70, 80 years, 90 years, whatever it may be. You're not going to disappear like that. You're in eternity. Christ.
Yes.
Our hope of glory. Praise his wonderful name. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. See, it's his might, not yours. Now, something, we might make mistakes. Our might can sometimes fall down. Our might can sometimes crumble. We get weary. The Lord never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always ready. You know, when Jesus was on that cross, well, there was that great hymn that was written, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't. Do you know why? Because he saw the millions of individuals who would come to him and call him Lord.
Amen.
And Master.
Amen.
And you're part of those millions that have come and are coming to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11 says, put on the full armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Yeah. Therefore, take upon the full armour of God, not part of it, not some of it, but take upon the full armour of God, that you might be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm.
Yeah.
Stand firm. When he starts launching his barrage of abuse and lies and the pressure he launches against us, Paul says, stand firm on the word.
Yeah.
Stand firm with your full armour on. And then he starts the next verse, verse 14, with stand firm.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's finished it with verse 13, stand firm. And he starts the next verse and stand firm. He's repeating this. Do you get the message, is what he's saying? Are you really hearing what I'm saying? Stand firm. Don't back down. Don't let the devil cause you to back down. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What does the word say? What does the word say? Stand firm, verse 14. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, taking upon the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Not sometimes, all times. Pray at all times. In the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, if you're not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's something to begin to seek for. To be filled with the Spirit. That you can pray at all times in the Spirit. You don't need to know what you're praying, but you need to know that your Spirit knows.
Yeah.
And that your Spirit is communicating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is communicating with God. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what God is saying about your circumstance, your situation that you're in right now. Hallelujah. God's on it. Whatever the problem is, God is on it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Whatever the challenge is for tomorrow, God's on it.
Amen.
Glory. Whatever is going on this month, God is on it.
Amen.
Nothing will catch God out by mistake. Nothing will catch him with his guard down.
Nope.
Might catch us. We need to be on it.
Yeah, right.
We need to be on it.
Right.
We need to be listening to God. With all prayer and petition, praying all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. In other words, keep covering one another in prayer. I know David does it. He has a book. Bless him. Got names in it. Let me tell you this. your name is in his book.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You might not know that, but isn't it? Your name's in his book. And your name comes up and he's prays for you. You might not know what you need, but God knows and he lifts you up before the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a God, he's an armor bearer. I used to teach, I taught on armor bearers in the past. You need an armor bearer. The warrior did not carry all his own equipment. He had an armor bearer. And we need people in the church to be armor bearers of the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, when we go into battle, when we go into spiritual battles, there is a force with us that is pressing through into the things of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 19 and we're on. And pray on my behalf that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So that there is Paul describing to each and every one of us the armor of God. Now he's taken this from the most successful army of the day. The Roman Empire. Rome ruled the nations. Rome was in total control. Everybody paid money to Caesar. And no matter where they went, they enlisted even the natives of that country into their army and they trained them in Roman warfare.
Yeah.
That's why they were successful. They couldn't be beaten. Whilst they were in unity, they couldn't be beaten. They were joined together and they were a force that nobody could beat. There was something to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so Paul is using this analogy because he's seen how Rome has conquered so much of the world that they know of. So let's have a look. Let's go back to verse 10. Finally, be strong.
Yeah.
What that word finally means, it means be empowered. Be empowered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you empowered?
Yeah.
Are you a finally?
Yeah.
Eh? Are you a finally?
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name. Verse 10 it says, be empowered. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be empowered. Be empowered. You see, we're not living in our strength. We're living in his strength. And Paul, as he speaks and talks about the armor of God, their spiritual armor, he's talking about. He's not talking about you wearing a helmet and carrying a sword and a shield around on the outside. But he's talking about this is spiritual.
Yeah.
You see, when we're dealing with the devil, we're not dealing with something that is in the natural realm that we see. We're dealing with principalities and powers ruling in the heavenly realm that we have authority to begin to deal with and to pull down. To bring confusion into the devil's area of authority. And that's why we're here. And so Paul is speaking on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit baptism and speaking in tongues, we can also remind ourselves of the victory of Christ for our lives. The victory that was taken upon the cross. The victory that was brought to us through the cross, through the work of the cross. And you see, through the death on that cross and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he conquered the devil and wicked spirituals. He took the power of Satan. His power was broken. And he said he gave gifts to men. What's he giving to us? He's actually giving us, he's empowering men and women who will love the Lord Jesus, is empowering his disciples. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Then he's empowering you. I remember, just reminding me of this. When I was at university, I went on a, when summer break came, we had to find a job in industry somewhere. And I ended up at a steel foundry in Sheffield, just doing the odd jobs, but at least it paid the bills and that, a little bit of experience. I remember one day I went out with somebody to deliver a load of castings in a Ford Transit pickup. And it was an automatic. Nobody knew how to drive this thing. Everybody said it was a heap of junk, it was slow as anything, and it was useless. And anyway, one of the guys said to me, he said, "You drive." I said, "Oh, okay." So I was driving along, and I needed to overtake somebody, even though I got a load of castings, you know. And I, being an automatic, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but if you push your foot right hard to the floor, there's a thing called kick down. On the accelerator, yeah. And as you push the accelerator hard to the floor, there's this thing called kick down. And what it does, it drops from the, being in the top gear, it drops down a couple of gears and then gives you full power and the vehicle sets off at a gallop, you see. So I hit this kick down and indicated and pulled out and passed this other vehicle. And the guy sat beside him, he said, "What did you do just then?" I said, "I just kicked it down." "What do you mean you just kicked it down?" I said, "I've never seen it go that quick, accelerate that quick before." I said, "No," I said, "because none of you know how to drive the thing. You don't know its secret resources that are there to be used."
Yeah.
Kick down, boom, and the go. I rarely use kick down on my car, do I? Because I've got a co-pilot at the side of me. This is cool, slow down a bit, you know, because kick down does kick in a bit hard on that one. But it's there. It's there if you need it. If you need to get away quick, boom, and it just kicks in. It's like being kicked in the back. And you set off. That's a resource. But if you don't know it's there, you never use it, do you?
No.
You just drive it as normal. You think, "Well, this is a right slow heap of rubbish, isn't it? Nothing. Don't really go very quick." It's there waiting for you to use it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with you and I, in the, with the Word of God. Yeah. We need to know what's in the book.
Yeah.
We need to know what the promises of God are to you and I. We need to be learning to use and to take hold of the promises of God and use what God has already prepared for us against the enemy, against the things that come against us in our lives that we can push back.
Yeah.
Devil, you know, have no authority here. You're trespassing. You have no right. And in the name and the blood of Jesus, I stand against you because I have authority in that mighty name. And your authority and your power comes by spending time in the Word of God. That's where your power comes from. Your power doesn't, you know, if you want some power in a motor car, you've got to go to the garage and fill the car up. It's getting to the point now where they're bringing these cars out and you have to plug them into the electricity and take the power from there and import it into the car. And if you don't do that, within 240 odd miles and less, you'll be sat at the side of the road in a vehicle with four wheels, with air conditioning and everything else that goes with it, wondering why don't it move? Why is it so hot in here and the air conditioning is not working? Why don't the lights come on?
Yeah.
Because you forgot to plug in and import the power into the vehicle.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, I just use simple things to explain it because that's what Jesus did. That's when the lights come on, when you got some power. And so we need to plug into the Word of God. We need to be reading it. Because every time you read in it, you're drawing power. You're drawing power. You're drawing power. Just filling yourself. You're filling yourself. They might say, well, I don't need it yet. No, that's right. That's okay. But you will. So you just keep drawing power. You don't just suddenly, with the electric vehicles, you can't just suddenly say, oh, I'm going somewhere. Oh, the battery's flat. Well, just plug it in straight away and it'll be full, won't it? No, it takes time.
Yeah.
And so, for you and I as believers in Christ, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to become a warrior. It takes time to become a prayer warrior. It takes time to become a prophet, a priest, a minister of the gospel. It takes time. And to stand in victory and to push back the enemy, it takes time to be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. It takes effort. The Roman soldiers just weren't suddenly turn up and said, oh, you can be a soldier. They were trained.
They were.
They were equipped.
Amen.
The church is not doing it.
No.
Oh, I just come to church, have sing a few happy clappy songs and have a coffee and go home. It'll be alright, won't it?
No.
No, it won't. It's called warfare. I remember when we first started Harvest Fields Christian Fellowship, the Lord spoke to me and said, you've got two choices, Andrew. You can have an ocean-going liner for a church, or you can have a battleship. It's a bit of a wide choice, isn't it? You know, one you can see where all the deck chairs and the, you know, fancy food and all the entertainment. And the other one's loaded with guns and it's bum, 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 bum. You know, you're thinking, phew. You know, now the natural would say, I'll do the cruise, eh? But I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want? And he immediately came back to me and he said, I want the battleship.
Amen.
And I said, okay, Lord, we're a battleship. He said, well, get rid of the deck chairs. Start burning them in the boilers. I'm like, okay. So next meeting we had, I told the folk that were joining us and coming together, we had two families leave us. They left. They didn't want a battleship. They wanted an ocean-going liner. Well, you're in the wrong ship.
Yeah.
If you want easy, it's not going to be easy.
No.
It's, you know, fight the good fight with all your might. You know, we're here to do the warfare. We're to, because we are rescuing souls.
We are. Mm-hmm.
From hell.
Yeah.
There are people, there are thousands and millions of people going to hell right now.
No.
And the only people who are going to rescue them is those that know the Lord.
Amen.
And know His Word.
Amen.
Those are the ones that will rescue lives and change people's lives. Oh yeah, what a responsibility we have.
Yeah.
But praise God, we can, you know, we can begin this process, we can begin to do this work. So God, through His Word, wants you to be empowered so that you are set for victory.
Woo!
That's the reason God empowers you. He empowers you so that you are set for victory.
Yeah.
The only time that Satan will get hold of you, when we allow him to, when we back off, when we step from underneath our covering and our protection that God places over us, when we step out of that and we step outside of that protection, say, hello Satan, you're all right, and he grabs you. Oh, I'm okay, I can do this, you know. God will not mind if I do this, will he? I read the book and find out. So many people want to live in two worlds. They want to live in God's part for a few hours and then live in the world for the rest of the week and it'll be okay, won't it? Because I can go on Sunday and I can repent, ask God to forgive me and He'll forgive me. Don't really quite work like that.
No.
It's about a real one-to-one relationship. How many of you want a husband or a wife that does one thing and then does another thing? That loves you one day and stabs you in the back the next day? That smiles at you and then frowns at you constantly. It's not what God wants for us. God's not like that. And that's not our relationship that we can have with God. And as we stay under the covering of the Lord, then we will find His love and His protection coming over us. We'll find that we are protected. We'll find that when something comes against us, there is this invisible force field of protection. Do you know why? Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And at times I've seen people who have gone through tragedy after tragedy, difficulty after difficulty, unbelievable circumstances, and I stand there and I begin to say, Lord, what is it? And they're supposedly, and I say this lovingly, they say they're Christians. And I say, where are they? What is really the relationship? Because surely the Lord protects us. And I know that we are not immune to being attacked. I know that we're not, when we come to Jesus, we're not suddenly just immunized and that's it. You've got, you know, you won't get anything. Everything will be fine. You'll have no more trouble. No. It's in those fights, knowing that we will win and be victorious. It's in those fights that we get stronger. You all know that we've got a little dog. You've seen him grow over these last few weeks. And he likes to fight and play fight. And I've noticed it is making him stronger. You know, I can see it in him. I can feel it in him. And he comes because he wants this play fighting because he's learning. Yeah. And in the same way, we need to learn how to stand against the devil, how to fight against the devil. And that's why we want to keep teaching and why we want to show you. You know, we've travelled some of this journey. And we've travelled it using the Word of God. We've travelled it using the power of the Word of God in our lives. And every victory is available to us through Christ Jesus. You know, Christ Jesus took the victory over Satan and his demons. Nothing can stand against us. Ephesians 4 and verse 1 says this, therefore, this is Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. There's a responsibility for you and I to walk in a worthy manner. So that when people look at you and look at me, they look at us and say, they're just like I'd imagine Jesus to be. Yeah? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know we're not perfect. I'm not saying, but we're on the road of perfection. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know? Better to be on the road of perfection than the road of destruction. And so we're on that road of perfection, and God is working in us step by step, day by day. Isn't he? She gorgeous. Hey? Hello. She'll go back now.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me. You see, these are scriptures that you've got to remind yourselves of. From the smallest of us to the biggest. She's fine. No, she's fine. Just leave her. She's fine. She's okay. She don't faze me at all. I love it. I love it. And the Lord says, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. You need to read Romans chapter 5. And as you read through that in chapter 5 from 8 right through to verse 20, it talks about God's love and God's forgiveness is being shown towards each and every one of us. It tells us about the battles that we would face. Let's just have a quick look at Romans 5. Just after the book of Acts, Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament, and verse 8. I love this first part of it. But God.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
Demonstrates His own love towards you.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But God demonstrates His own love towards you, in that while we were yet sinners, hallelujah, Christ
died
for you. For me.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. In other words, we were no hopers.
Yeah.
We were lost. We were on our way to hell and we didn't know it.
No.
Did we? We didn't know it. We just thought, well, you know, a lot of us have been taught, when you're dead, you're dead. Yeah? That's it. There's nothing, no afterlife. That's it. When you're dead, you're dead. Well, I don't believe that. Glory to God. There's more to it than we know about. God intended much more. And some folk would argue and say, well, is there a God? Well, hey, I've heard Him speak to me. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God open the blind eyes. I've seen God open deaf ears. I've seen God move in a mighty way.
Amen.
I've seen God raise the dead. So there is a God as far as I'm concerned. Hallelujah. And I am enjoying my life, my relationship with Almighty God.
Amen.
And I am excited about it. And I tell you what, the world can't offer me anything any better. Glory to Jesus. And I'm just going to keep on going for it. And I've been doing this for over 50 years now. And I can't see any way back any better. Glory to Jesus. Just go for it. Abandon yourself totally to God. Let Him do that work in you. When God demonstrates His love towards us. It says for verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God.
Yeah.
He's enemies. And yet, Paul says, God reconciled you back. He made a way of escape for us. He made a way for us to come back to God through the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, Romans, just when you get home, write that down. Read Romans chapter 5. It is such an encouragement. You know, I could, if I get into that, I'll end up preaching on Romans chapter 5 and we won't get very far with where we are now. So Ephesians, it's just moved in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, put on the full armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Putting on this armour allows us to stand our position. It allows us to stand where God has placed us. It allows us to wear these spiritual garments, because that's what they are. These are spiritual garments. These are not something that you see outwardly. These are spiritual garments. And most of these are defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
The majority is defense.
Yeah.
Glory to God. There's a massive defense field around us. The devil should not be able to penetrate. And then we wait for the sound of the trumpet. And then we take the sword of the Spirit and we move with the power of God into people's lives and bring the word of the Lord. And so the Lord has brought us to a place where we are protected. You know, one of the Psalms talks about the Lord building a strong tower around us. Hallelujah. You're protected.
Amen.
When I used to read that psalm, about this, you know, God's word being a strong tower around us. It used to remind me of an insurance advert. You remember that one? And it was only done on like sketches, weren't it? And it was, they just drew this tower with, they drew these couple of people, and then they suddenly drew this castle type tower. And in the sketch, it would lean over, and the man would say, bang, he would tap on it, and there'd be a bang bang, strong stuff, this insurance, weren't it? Something of that nature. And that tower is a strong tower. Run into it. Run to Jesus. You know, that's what you've got to learn to do. I know so often people, if they're not careful, that really don't know enough of the Word of God or anything of the Word of God, run to somebody else. And usually they run to somebody else who really don't know as much as them. And they say to them, what do you think I should do? And they pour it all out and they say, what do you think I should do? And all you'll get is worldly advice. And that worldly advice will get you into a load of worldly trouble. And then you've just gone round the same circuit, you're on the same running track, and actually the groove that you're going round is getting deeper and deeper until it turns into a grave. If you want good advice, go to the Word of God. Go to somebody who knows the Word of God, who's been in the Word of God for years, and whose life reflects Jesus, and get advice from them. Because if you go to somebody that's successful in God, then you're going to get some good advice. Hallelujah. Don't let people weigh you down. I've had it all. People keep coming back until they want you to say what they want you to say, so that then you've agreed with them, so now it's okay for them to go and do what they want to do. And they just keep going round and round, and in the end I just said, I'm not saying that. I'm not getting involved. After a while, I just said, because they're going to waste my time, they're going to draw my strength from me. And it's like, let them go. They've got to go around the mountain again. I don't know how many times they'll have to go around the mountain, but they're going to keep going around the mountain until the light comes on that they need to change what they are doing.
Amen.
You see, they need to change their direction. It's like people with relationships. So many times, again, I've seen this where people are in they have a relationship, it fails. And the next thing you know, they've found another relationship. And you as an outsider look at it and go, oh God, no. It's the same thing. It looks exactly like the previous one. With one or two different tweaks maybe to it, the coloration might be different, but the actual baseline of it, it's the same type of relationship, and they get involved with this one, and then guess what? Fails again, people are hurt and wounded, and then they move on, and another relationship, and guess what?
Same
drama, different pace. And it's like, my God, you know. And you try and speak to these people. And you try and say to them, this is not right. This is wrong. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, you just don't want me to be happy, do you? Like, oh, God, honestly. I do want you to be happy. And I know that what you're going to do now is you're going to go through misery and hell. And then you're going to come back to me. And you're going to moan and complain and say, oh, why has God let this happen to me? He didn't. You didn't stop to listen to his voice.
No.
I'm not saying anybody's doing that here, but you know what I mean? This is what's happened. This is what happens. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. And you think, Why? Tragedies. It's not God doing it. God's saying, come this way. Get involved with me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to say this. You put Jesus absolutely first. Everything else gets sorted. Yeah, I mean, don't do it like that, but the process. Because you're no longer being distracted. If you're a warrior, and you have a weapon, you train to shoot that weapon. Right? And no matter what is coming in from the right, the left, wherever, you do not focus on what's coming in. You focus on the target. Everything else is a distraction. And if you get distracted from the target, you will miss the target. You will miss what you're supposed to be hitting. Rather than use a target, Ken and I used to play tennis together. And he will tell you, if you take your eye off the ball, you miss it. True? You've got to keep your eye on the ball. You've got to stay focused. You know, if something runs past, when they play doubles, you know, sometimes they do this running, and it's to try and distract the other opponent from hitting the ball back. And so we have to remember that in our spiritual warfare, we can't get distracted with the fringe things. The things that are going on the fringes, they're nothing. You know, they're just jumping up and down. There's just nothing of any power and authority. We need to deal with the source. We need to go for the root of the issues and break them in the name of Jesus. You know, Joshua, I love Joshua. You know, again, he's another one I love. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through to 7, you know, God is promising. He's promising equipping and the ability to be given to him to drive out the nations. God's made that promise. He said, I'm going to drive them out. So today we have a spiritual battle. We have an enemy to deal with, a force to drive out, and God has given us the power and the authority. The victory was won at the cross. And God is waiting for you and I to begin to take up the warfare. God is waiting for you and I to stand in line. You know, God is calling you. He's waiting for you to stand in line and take up your position to begin to do the warfare. To begin to go in and possess the land.
Amen.
That's God's ultimate goal. Go in and possess the land. And you and I, when God is talking about possessing the land, He's talking about possessing lives. Because the Bible teaches that you and I are made of dust. Ashes to ashes. We do it in a funeral service, don't we? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And that's where we came from. And that's where we're going back to on this physical body. And God says, possess this land. So what the Word of God says, you know, everybody talks about Israel, Palestine, you know, they need to possess that land. No. God's spiritual.
Yes.
God's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth.
That's right.
So, don't focus on the incidentals. Don't focus on those things that are unimportant, because as far as God's concerned, He says you're just going to fold them up and chuck them in the waste bin, for want of a better word. He said, because He created a new heaven and a new earth. Right? Is that what the Bible says?
Yeah.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things are going to become new. And so, God is focusing, through Jesus, this land. Jesus did not come to save the land of Israel. Did He? I'd love to have some of these, you know, pro-Israelites come. He didn't come to save Israel. He came to save humanity.
Amen.
That's what He came to save. He came to save the man who He created in His own image.
Amen.
That's what He came for. He did not come for the land.
No.
The land benefits from you and I walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a fact. That is a spiritual fact.
The land is blessed
when we walk in that anointing.
Yeah.
But you see, Jesus came for this land. You. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But honestly, inside, He breathed into us His Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And His Spirit gave us life. Woo! We thought we were living before we got saved. I tell you what, when you really get saved and you start to live for Jesus, wow, for me to live is Christ, Paul says, to die is gain. And this is where we should be, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hallelujah. So in other words, we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of what's coming towards us, because we're actually moving through to the kingdom of heaven. We're moving into the presence of the Father. We're going to know Him whom to know is life eternal forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so Joshua, you know, he's been told, he's been given the authority, he's been given the power, and Joshua goes in and he does what God told him to do. But even Joshua had one or two failures. Ai, for instance. Because why? There was sin in the camp. And when we allow the enemy to sneak in to our lives and cause us to stumble, we'll have a failure somewhere along the way, and we need then to realize, get back in this relationship. Get back to God. Because it's in that purity of relationship that we're victorious. I know we're not perfect, I didn't say that. But it's in that purity that we're going for.
Yeah.
See, God looks at the heart. He looks at the very spirit of a man. David, when God talks of David, He says, here's a man after my own heart. Hang on, wait a minute. You were a murderer. You were an adulterer. And yet, God's saying, man after my own. No, what He meant is that David knew that when he made his mistakes, he was quick to turn back to God and to repent and ask God for true forgiveness. And he never went that direction again. God wants this land. The Spirit of God wants to flow through us and move through us. Praise His wonderful name. Jesus being the Prince of Peace. He's coming to bring us to a place where we have absolute, total peace in God.
Yeah.
That is His plan and purpose. So that no matter when there's a storm going on, you just ride the storm.
Yeah.
When I ride my motorcycle and Grace is on the back, she just sits there.
Yeah. Go with the flow.
And just go with the flow. She rides the storms. Mm. She rides those corners, those bends. If she did anything different, there would be an accident. But by resting and riding and trusting, there's no accidents, and there's such a flow. And in the same way, if we would trust God. Yeah, but God, what about this circumstance? What about this? What if this happens, Lord? Trust God. God already knows what's in front. He knows what's in tomorrow. He knows what's in next month. He knows what's going on. He's already made preparation for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I had a phone call the other night, and I know Shirley has already made some preparations for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, Shirley can do it. But you see, Shirley's only dealing with just a small thing, small area. God's dealing with millions of areas and things, and God's got them all in place. Isn't that amazing? Carol, she turned up to church. David met her one day and said, got your church, you can go to Carol. Here she is. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. You know. Has it been a blessing back to you? Yeah. Thank God for that. Because it's a two-way street we operate in. But it's been so, you know, it's been such a blessing. And I say that not just to Carol, every one of you.
Yeah.
That we flow together, backwards and forwards, and know the presence and power of God in our lives. Take up the full armour of God. Not just some of it, but all of it. The Word of God, it's important that we act upon it, we stand upon it, and we use it. Since the fall of man, every day has been ravaged by the devil on humanity. It's time for us, as the disciples of the Lord Jesus, to take control of our days. Did you hear what I said? Never mind that coin rolling. It's time to take control of our days.
Amen.
And it can only be done in the Word of God.
Yeah.
You see, stay focused. Yeah. Stay focused.
Yeah.
Take control of your day through the Word of God. Don't let something take you offline and distract you. You know, the media is a great distraction today. The fears, the woes and everything. I don't know if you watched the tennis match last night, did you?
Yeah,
what a match. I didn't realise that stadium was so big. I didn't hear how many people it held. 23,000 with bags of room in it, weren't there really? You know, I mean, it was enormous. And there's these two 19-year-old girls playing tennis. Canadian, English girl. In New York. The Canadian girl is getting all the support because Canada's just over the border a few miles away. And they were all there supporting her. This young English girl, she just played and played and played. And even when the crowd wasn't with her, she just played and played. She focused on the job that was in hand that she had to do. And she played her heart out. And at one point, it looked like she could possibly lose. But what did she do? She even drew blood playing tennis. And then finally, it came through and she took victory.
Amen.
She took victory. The odds were against her. She was a girl. She's 18. She hadn't qualified, had she?
She wasn't qualified.
She had to go and play some rounds to actually qualify. She's not even seeded. She's not listed anywhere in the ratings. She came out of nowhere. Reminds me of David. Little David. You know, God's man to deal with Goliath. Comes out of nowhere. And slays Goliath. This girl comes out of nowhere.
Never lost a set.
Just played and played. And God did a tremendous, in her life it was great to see. I noticed she was wearing a cross. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not. Jesus, yeah. And so we just thank God that such a work was going on. And what I'm trying to say is that if you will focus on what is going on, what God has given you to do, then if you focus on that, you'll have victory.
You will.
Yeah. You might lose the odd game. You might fall down.
Yeah.
You might get cut.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah.
Get up.
Get up. Amen.
Get up and say, I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm going to do this.
Amen.
Because God is on my side.
Amen.
God is on your side.
Amen.
Don't get distracted. Yeah, the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And we need to press in and keep pressing in and see God moving in power. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to stand firm against the things that are in this world. What you and I need to be is the antihistamine to the poison of the world.
Amen.
Daniel the other day well, not just Daniel, but myself, we were out of the back there, a few of us, we were having a rest, weren't we?
I never got bit.
I mean, I got bit on my hand and the thing's swollen up and it's like, I was struggling with grip. Daniel got one on his elbow. You got bit, didn't you? I mean, it's like, what was this thing that bit us? You know? My dog don't bite that hard. I don't know what, no. But whatever it was, I mean, this thing left us with some pain and swelling, didn't it? We felt it late for days later. We didn't focus on it, though. You see, we used antihistamine to counteract its effects. You see, antihistamine comes against the poisons and begins to counteract their actions against us. And when the devil comes against us, we need to use the word of God as an antihistamine against the devil and his lies.
It will kill him.
You see, it stops the action. It causes it to be pushed back and reverses what it is doing to us, that poison. And it neutralizes it.
Yeah.
And so the church today needs to be the antihistamine to the anarchy that is in society today. That's what we need to be. We need to be the antihistamine. We need to be the light in the darkness that is in the world. The Lord says, you know, put your light on a candlestick. Don't hide it. I know some family members who say they're Christians. Honestly, I don't think in the last few years they've ever told anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to me, that's not a Christian. I don't stop talking about Jesus. I meet a stranger and I will end up at some stage getting into the conversation and talking about Jesus. Do you know why? He's my best friend. He's the one who's helped me so many times in my life. He's the one who has sustained me in difficult, challenging times. He's the one that has brought me through a challenging time when I was nearly at the point of breakdown. And he brought me through. I remember the doctors giving me pills. Make me sleep. Get me awake. Couldn't sleep a wink. These pills were absolutely doing nothing. And I came to that point one day. And I remembered one time I preached something. And I don't know if I preached it first or I don't know. I can't, but I remembered something. I remembered Leonard. The doctor had given him something and I preached a message in a church that we were in. And he just took that word, he went home, he took the pills and flushed them down the toilet and that was it. And he has never needed them since.
No.
You see, because he took hold of the gospel.
Yeah.
The word of God. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly realised, what am I doing with this? And I went to the toilet and I flushed them all down the toilet and said, I don't need these. Mm. And pressed into God. You see, the enemy wants to distract you, take you offline.
Yeah.
Take you down a cul-de-sac, take you to a dead end.
Yeah.
And there's no way out, only you've got to do a U-turn and start the journey backwards.
Yeah.
And the journey backwards should lead us to Christ.
Yeah,
and it's Christ always, Christ, Christ, Christ.
Yeah.
And as we get hold of Christ and we see Christ in our life and flowing through us, then we'll drive back the enemy. We will change society around us. That's what we're called to do. We're called to change society. To be the light on the hill.
Yeah.
To be the salt, Jesus said. And if you've lost your saltiness, you're no good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot.
That's it. That's what I'll have.
We need to be people who are flowing in God's anointing.
Yeah.
We need to take upon us the weapons of our warfare. When it says we're wrestling, not against flesh and blood. It says when that word wrestling, it means we're to stand in front of him, the devil, and to withstand him.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're standing in front. We're withstanding him. We're not going to give ground to his trickery.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is. It's trickery and deception.
Yeah.
It's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
He has no power, no authority. Only the power and the authority that you surrender to him, that you allow him to have over you. See, there's no power over you. God has given you that ability to flow in his anointing. And everything else is under our feet. Take the authority in the name of Jesus. You see, the devil seeks to bring mankind into all extremes. Sexual perversion, occultism, Satan worship, and other deprived things that you see on the media. And that's why we said last week, watch your eyes.
Yeah.
Watch what you see. Watch what you listen to.
Yeah.
Focus on the things that are good.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is holy.
Yeah.
You know, focus on those things. Don't get involved in those as the things of this world need to grow sadly dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what it needs to be. We need to focus on him. The trouble is we're focusing, I need this, I need that. God knows what you need.
He will supply.
And he teaches, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Through my relationship with Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
People don't like this sort of preaching. I just want it my way. I want it an easy way. Just give it me all and I'll leave. They treat God like a supermarket.
Yeah.
Here's my ticket, Jesus. You know, just cash that in and walk out with everything that I need. Does not work that way. It's a relationship.
Amen.
It's a two-way street. I talk to God, he talks to me.
Yeah.
Most people talk to God and walk off.
Yeah.
Don't give him a chance to speak.
Yeah.
We need to listen to God more than we talk to God.
Yeah.
And as we listen to him, he'll guide us and direct us and show us the way forward. Don't let the devil bring you into all trickery and deceptions. But let's focus on him. Our faith should be in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We need to stand strong in the face of the enemy. We need to push him back.
We do.
This far and no further. Push him back.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm afraid of him.
No.
Jesus gave to his disciples all power. And all authority. There's no fear.
No.
God is not a God of fear. God is a God of faith.
Amen.
God is a God that says, push back. Push back. I mean, we talked the other week about when the Lord God spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, put the choir out the front. Let them stand before the enemy. Fear not. You know, come on choir, sing. Sing loud, you know. Don't be afraid. Oh. But they've got arrows, they've got spears, they've got slings. Stand there and sing to the glory of God. And watch your enemy defeated.
Yeah.
You know, that is... If we'd have heard that, we'd have said, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Gideon, he's got all these men, right? Lord, we're going to take our land back. God said, you got too many. Oh, what do you mean we've got too many? Twice he said it, you've got too many. Brings him down to 300 against two armies. And God says, we've got enough now. Why? Because the glory and the praise goes heavenward to God. That's what it's about. Gideon didn't do it. It was God. Gideon was just part of the makeup. It was part of the system. God allowed Gideon to be there. To show him that he could reveal the hand of God and show him how powerful God was. When you trust God, when you believe in God, when you trust him, you will know how powerful he is. You'll see the work of God moving in your life. Praise his wonderful name. So, push back the enemy. Our destiny Glory to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's in victory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's our destiny.
Woo!
Our destiny is in Christ Jesus. And as we press into that, as we press through into that, we will see our destiny in Christ Jesus. You see, the work, the victory, has already been won on the cross.
Yeah.
The victory is won on the cross.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so our destiny is sure. We have a sure and certain hope in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, how long have we been going? 10 minutes. Your watch is as bad as mine. I can continue next week if you want to finish off and move through.
We need it.
Move through. I just don't want to rush this. I want us to grasp hold of the importance of the spiritual battles that we face, but the importance of the fact that we are the ones who are victorious.
Amen.
In and through Christ
Amen.
Jesus. That we are not the ones who are running and hiding.
No.
We're the ones who are causing the devils to run and hide.
Yeah.
We're causing them to go to the place where Jesus appointed them to go and wait until the day of judgment.
Yeah.
We need to drive them out.
Yes, we do.
We need to take this land for Jesus.
We do.
That's what it's about.
Amen.
And we need, and you know, you need to be able to stand on the word of God and not be afraid.
Absolutely. No, you are.
There's no fear in God.
Amen.
God will not let anything harm you.
No.
No deadly thing shall harm you.
Absolutely.
Praise his wonderful name.